Hello and welcome to Taking Care of Business. I'm Jackie Mitchell. Good to have your company today. Today's show is a new topic of conversation we haven't discussed before. So thanks for the suggestions from our listeners. Today we talk about business partnerships. We chat about choosing a business partner, divorcing a business partner, and the pros and cons of working with family, friends, and your life partner. We have special guests here from Rest Easy Services and Yasuv. We'll be chatting with them in just a moment. Today's show is made possible by our sponsorship partners at eView Real Estate. Our first guests have all been mates since school. Founders Ben Freeman, Nick, I should have actually got to get the pronunciation of your surname right, but I'm going to give it a shot, all right? Colitis. Nearly there. And Frank Gavralis. Okay, there we go. Start again. Ben Freeman, Nick Colitis, and Frank Gavralis. In mid-2014, they launched the first Yasuv franchise together. Two-thirds of the partnerships are here today. Ben and Nick, welcome to Taking Care of Business.
Thank you.
Good to have you both here. Now, I should also say hi to Frank. I'm assuming he's listening, and he's the third amigo of your three partnerships. And you're all mates, and you've known each other since school. And how did this come about, Yasuv? Just tell us a little bit about that. It's to do with souvlaki, isn't it?
Yep.
Because there's obviously a Greek link with your surnames.
Yep.
So tell us a bit more about Yasuv.
Well, basically, my whole life's been around food. Mum and Dad had a pub and cafes as I was growing up. So my whole life has been with food. So I've been in the hospitality industry now for over 20 years. And it wasn't until like my last family holiday that we went to Greece and I rediscovered the way souvlaki are made in Greece. They're different to how they make it here. So that's when I thought there's a gap in the market for flavoursome, quick Greek street food. So when I came back, I was having a bit of a discussion with a couple of Greek friends of mine in the industry, and we sort of came up with the idea of a souvlaki or a souv franchise business. And that's basically where it's started from.
Right. And so when you talked about the authentic Greek souvlaki, how is that different from the souvlaki we know now here in Australia?
The souvlaki here are like when you go to a fish and chip shop or, you know, the 3 o'clock places on Ligon Street.
Hang on, I don't remember the 3 o'clock, but the next morning I see the wrapper.
Yeah, that's right. They're different, you know, it's with lettuce and the meat and everything, whereas the more authentic Greek souvs had chips inside. They had different types of mustard inside. They weren't just your traditional Greek tzatziki type souvs. And that's what we've brought over basically from Greece. Souvlaki that are a bit different to your typical Aussie souv.
Right. And what about the meat? Because I know in Australia you can get lamb, chicken, all sorts of different meat. What's the authentic?
The authentic Greek meat is pork.
Ah.
But when the Greeks came to Australia, you know, in the 50s and 60s, pork was a lot more expensive than lamb. So they started using lamb. So that's why we use lamb now. And I like lamb a lot better than pork, but that's the change that has happened from Greece to Australia. So our biggest seller is a lamb souvlaki compared to a pork souv.
So you're still trying to educate Australian taste buds that the pork's the real deal.
Pork is the real deal, but lamb has completely taken over pork.
Okay, so let's go back to starting the business. So you got back from Greece and said there's a gap in the market. No one's doing it here in Australia.
Yep.
So you had an idea to start the business, is that right? And then how did you end up getting Ben and Frank to join you?
Well, I basically went off after we had the discussions with the other two gents. And went off for a couple of months, spoke to Mum about, you know, recipes and ideas and flavours. And when it was time to actually start the business, the other two weren't able to continue. So that's when I spoke to Ben, who's we've had many discussions over the years about some kind of franchise business. and started having a chat to Ben and said, you know, there's a gap in the market for Greek street food. There's a lot of other street food offerings out there, and Greek food wasn't one of them. So that's when we got together with Ben, and then we had a chat to our other partner, Frank, who's had franchising experience, and he's an accountant as well. So that's when we got the three of us together and were able to create a partnership that different skills are there to actually help the business grow.
Okay, so what's your role in this three-way partnership?
Mine's mainly operational. I've had 20 years of food hospitality experience. Yep. So I come into the partnership with the operational side and the food side. Whereas,
and Ben, what's your role?
Probably mainly the back end. Not back end in terms of finance, but structure of the business and where we're going forward and vision and branding and marketing and that type of stuff.
Yeah, and so Frank does he's the bean counter.
He's the bean counter.
Okay, well, that's good. And does that work well for you guys, obviously?
It really does. I mean, it's a good separation of powers. But then at the same time, we all have, Nick and I have both run our own businesses for years. So we've both had a lot of experience in the back end and bean counting, so to speak.
Yeah.
I ran a cafe for a year, certainly not 20 years, but and Frank's franchising experience was also in the food industry. So we have opinion on Nick's world in our business, but we don't impose ourselves there. And I would be the same with his part of the business. We understand the back end, but we don't necessarily get involved.
Is it split three ways evenly, or does one of you have more say over the others? How does that work?
In the business in general?
Yes.
We're one-third partners
one
each.
One-third each, right.
So there's no inequality there.
Yeah.
In terms of operationally, I think if Frank or I had an opinion on something operationally in the business, we'd voice that opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, it would be Nick's say at the end.
Oh, okay. So that's how you work it. So your area of responsibility, that person has the final say on whether it's going to go ahead or not.
Correct.
Oh, okay, that's really good. And how long have you been together for as a business? Is it 2 years? 3 years?
2 years.
2 years.
Yep.
Okay. And so when you went into it, what sort of legal structure did you have to go? Yeah, well, I have to go through some legals. Was that a bit tricky or was that easy?
yeah.
I can see how the answer would be a bit tricky.
No, the answer's not tricky at all, actually. There's a lot of trust involved. We sat down and said, right, first thing we've got to do is have a partnership agreement.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And 2 years later, we still don't have a partnership agreement.
Really?
We kind of fleshed one out.
Yeah.
And we went through the process of a lot of question and answer. So we have a document there, but there's nothing signed. Right. We have an understanding there, but there's nothing signed. It's not necessarily that high on our priorities, because I would like to think that it would never go legal, that we kind of all sat down on day one and said, ultimately, we're in this for our families, and we all know each other's families. We holiday together. We're not going to hurt each other's families, so we're going to go together. Now, there's no question that there's a bit of blind faith in that, but I'm sure we'll get a partnership agreement together at some point.
At
this point, we haven't necessarily gone down that track.
What's the communication process or system that you've got in place? Like, do you meet once a week? Do you meet monthly? Have you got something formalised and that's sort of from a system perspective?
We as mates for the last 20 years have been having what we call a board meeting every Friday.
And Ben's cracking up as you're doing that. I imagine that's
and
over
that
a
was,
few beers.
You know, having a few beers and having a chat about the world basically and trying to solve everything. So now we actually have real board meetings and they usually
there's still as much laughter.
Yeah, that's right.
That's good.
They're usually held on a Tuesday at our Hawthorne shop, and we just go through everything and basically all ideas and whatever issues there are, that's what we discuss on the Tuesday. And like Ben said, the laughter continues like the Friday board meetings of old.
Right, so you're still having fun, and that's obviously a key to the success in the relationship.
That is the key. That's what I was saying to Ben on the way down here. We laugh a lot, and it's like we're at the pub or having the board meetings on the Friday nights. it takes the seriousness away of what we're doing. Like you have a laugh or something comes up and it's fairly serious, and then 2 minutes later we're having a laugh, and it just makes us feel a lot better.
Yeah, that's great.
Now, the pressure isn't as much if we're having a bit of a laugh together.
Yeah, well, it does. It's an automatic valve of release all that stress and
that's
pressure.
Right.
Now, Yasuv, whereabouts can you get Yasuv? You're in shopping centres? Which ones?
We're at our first one that we opened in 2012 was at Knox Westfield Shopping Centre. And then we opened Doncaster Westfield Shopping Centre in November 2015, and Hawthorne on Glenferrie Road opened April this year.
So you're dealing with a variety of owners. You've got Westfield that you're dealing with. Is Westfield Knox as well?
Yep, yeah. Both Westfields.
And then in Hawthorne, that'd be different landlords there.
Yeah.
How have you found that dealing with shopping centre owners and landlords? It's notoriously
not the easiest.
No,
to
notoriously
deal with.
Difficult.
Yeah, I think there's been a lot of bad press over the years, and it's been well warranted with people like Westfield closing small business down and taking their house and their car and see you later. I don't think they're that bad anymore. I think they've gone through a lot of negative PR towards that, but there's no question they're not an easy landlord to have. At the end of the day, we go into that with our eyes open too. You know, we from a marketing point of view, I will often say to the boys that we go and pay extremely high rent and we put up with Westfield, but you know, at Doncaster they bring 100,000 people through the doors every week. Hawthorne's a different story. We don't pay the rent per square meter is not as great, but the landlord may be easy to get around, but the landlord has no responsibility to bringing people through your front door.
Right, yeah,
so there is that trade-off there when you're dealing with Westfield. But
I've got a lot more questions to ask you, but if you just like to hold that thought, have a sip of that coffee and a bite of that souvlaki that you've brought in for us to try. We've been chatting with Ben and Nick from Yasuv about forming a business partnership with friends. And it got me thinking that business partnerships are a little bit like marriages. So I thought, why don't we talk to a husband and wife that are in business together? Tammy and Matt Blackman run Rest Easy Services. Welcome to Taking Care of Business.
Thanks, Jackie.
Thank you, Jackie.
Good to have you both here. Now, let's firstly sort out Rest Easy Services. Tell us a little bit about your business.
Sure. So Rest Easy Services is mostly a holiday home management company on the Mornington Peninsula. So we manage cleaning, gardening and maintenance for a lot of the holiday homes.
Yeah.
And also do commercial cleaning, builders cleans and residential cleans.
And how long have you been in business for?
Well, we've been running Rest Easy Services for 4 years, but prior to that, Matt and I had another company for three years. So 7 years in total.
So you've 7 years working together.
Correct. Well, it goes further. We started in a workplace as well where we worked for a year together. So we've been working together for 8 years.
8 years.
But in business for 7 years.
Well, those that are listening that are thinking about going into partnership with their significant other or are currently doing that, I'm sure you've got lots of pearls of wisdom that you're going to share with us now. When you went into business together as husband and wife, I mean, you hear all the stories, the bad stories. How did you go about dealing with that? So when you said, okay, Matt, let's go into business together, did you sit down and go, okay, this is what could go wrong, or how did it happen?
We're just sort of in the situation where it was the right time for us to both do it. We were sort of in between jobs and we had a little bit of money and we both wanted to start a business. So other than that, there wasn't a great deal of sort of thought put into it. It just seemed like the right thing to do at the time.
Yeah.
And we knew that we get along very well. So in terms of making decisions and things like that, we could tell that we could do it pretty easily.
Because you have a home office as well, don't you? So you work from home.
Correct.
And you work together.
Correct.
Yep.
So it's everything, isn't it? The ultimate stress it would be on the relationship. So what are some of the tips that you'd give to anyone listening who is, you know, husband and wife or thinking about a business partnership with their significant other? Like, what works for you guys?
Sure. Definitely making sure that you've got the home time. You just go, right, that's it, work's finished, and it's not as easy as that because you know, when you've got your own business, we all work late hours. And one of the biggest things that we did was move to the office actually out of our lounge room. It was in our lounge room for a long time. So we've actually moved it into a different part of the house. Yeah. So now it's a more physical definition. We get up, you do your morning thing and you go into the office, and that's sort of quite different to our living space. So I think that's quite important.
So is routine important for you to actually do that? So you know, you go through the same routine every day to make sure that you've got that work is separate from your home life?
It is, although one of the huge benefits that we find of having our own business is that we can incorporate things that we need to do during the day, which is sort of out of routine. It's not like you go to the office Monday to Friday. You do have the flexibility to go and do things that you may need to do during the day.
When you set up the business, I was speaking to Ben and Nick a little earlier about legal requirements. Have you got a business partnership agreement or anything in that's sort of in writing? Or
oh, I think it's called a marriage certificate.
Okay. So how did you sort out your roles? So you obviously have different roles in the business. So Tammy, what's your role in the business?
Sure. So I guess it came from the fact that I was marketing degree qualified. So I just naturally fell into the marketing PR type side of it. And also the accounting. I don't know how. I've always been quite good with numbers. My dad was an accountant and I was always brought up in part of his family business. So we just sort of figured out what worked best, didn't we? And
yeah it sort of it was something that we learned over the period of time, was that that we really had to define our roles, because at the start we were sort of trying to make all the decisions together and you know, have a handle on all the aspects of the business together. And you know, when it comes to decision making and all that sort of thing, it's pretty important that one person's held responsible. So over the period, we did actually learn to really segregate the visions of the company, I suppose you'd say.
Yeah.
To make sure that that didn't happen.
So if you that's a really good point. So if you could go back in time, you know, 7 or 8 years ago when you first started working together, with what you know now, that would be one thing that you'd actually would have defined the roles a little earlier. Anything else that you would have done differently from what you've learned, or lessons that you've learned over the time working together?
It would have been nice to get a office out of the home a bit earlier, because yeah, it's all consuming.
Yes.
Even though we still haven't reached that point, but it's one of our goals. But it is very, very much all consuming, having the office at home and being with a partner that you're working with. You know, you'll wake up in the morning and you know, Tam will be looking at me saying, oh, I think we need a new vacuum cleaner. That's the first thing she'll say to me in the morning. You know, it's sort of all consuming.
Yeah.
So, yeah, over the time we have learnt that we really need to take a break from the business as well and try and forget it.
That leads beautifully into my next question. How do you have holidays? Because just the two of you running the business, isn't it? So how do you actually have a holiday together and leave the business?
It is. We're very, very fortunate to have really good support networks. We've got some great friends. The staff are all fantastic in that they're able to be fairly autonomous in what they need to do.
Can I just interrupt you there? You say you're lucky, but you've chosen these staff. So you're not lucky, because you've thought about it. Is that right?
Well,
and you've gone out and you've chosen the right staff that you trust and can look after your business while you're not there.
Sure. Well, that's definitely worth doing. Find the right people to surround yourself with. But there's also one lady who helps us in the office, and shout out to Julie. She's just been fantastic, who allows us to step away and take that much needed break.
So what would you, with running the business now as you are, do you have an exit strategy? Like, what's your plan? Is it to go on forever? Because it can't. So do you have a strategy for selling it, or...
Yeah, I think one of the great things about being in business with your partner is you're on the same path to your end goal. And we have very similar end goals, in that, you know, we want to run a retreat down the track. And you know, the good thing about working with Tammy is that we can just work on the same path and work towards that goal. So yeah, we do have a exit strategy. but and obviously a nice retirement as well.
Yeah, well, that's important. Before we came on air, Matt, you were saying that you Googled business partnerships or a partnership with your significant other in preparation for the show.
Yeah.
When you Googled that, what did you find?
One of the sites sort of said that it's a good idea to have a separate workspace from each other and, you know, make sure you have defined roles and all that sort of thing. But we love working together, so we love doing things together. We love being in the same room and bouncing things off each other and talking about social life and work life at the same time. So yeah, it has sort of morphed into one thing, but it's just great just being together. So yeah, that's one of the things that someone said on Google that probably doesn't hold true for us. And I guess it's not the same for everyone.
That's right. So it's horses for courses in a way. Mm. Now, this all sounds lovely. And I know that that's, nothing's ever perfect. So when you have a disagreement or whether it's a personal disagreement or whether it's a business disagreement, do they tend to morph in one or do you keep them separately? And then how do you actually resolve it?
It's so ridiculous, isn't it? The answer is we honestly do not disagree.
Ever?
About anything ever. I don't remember ever having one. But if there was ever a disagreement, we just have total respect for each other that we understand each other's sides of the story and get on with it. We just really don't hold any grudges or we just support each other's decisions.
Yeah. And how is business going down here? Because you just work on the Mornington Peninsula.
That's right.
In what you're doing.
Yeah.
And when you started the business, what made you go into cleaning and gardening and all this sort of holiday home care industry? Was there a gap in the market? Like Ben and Nick identified a gap in the market, the souvlaki market. Was there a gap in the market down here? Because I'd imagine there'd be a lot of companies doing that down here.
Yeah, I guess you'd probably think that. We moved down 4 years ago, just as we started the business. So we're actually going for a swim in the bay at Rye. And we're sort of wondering what to do next. And I was looking around and there's all these holiday homes. And I just said to Tam, oh, there's a lot of holiday homes. Maybe we should do something about that. So, we didn't do a hell of a lot of research into it. We looked at, you know, how many cleaning companies were on Google and all that sort of thing. And there didn't seem to be many that were doing it professionally that we thought. We could offer a complete service of, you know, of holiday home management in terms of, you know, even down to bringing the bins in and the whole gamut of what's involved. And so that's where it sort of started.
And it's been successful, I'm assuming? It's
very,
going well?
Yeah, it's very busy. Getting busy. It's been, over the years, a little bit quiet in winter, but... definitely in summer it amps up, as everyone who lives down here knows. But now we've sort of got to the point where we're quite busy over winter as well.
Yeah, so, well, that's good. Yeah. We're going to talk a bit more about how you actually keep busy during the downtimes and also how to manage staff. And I know that Ben and Nick obviously have got staff, as you guys do, and that's another whole conversation that we're going to have. We have our special guests here in the studio, Ben and Nick from Yasuv, and Matt and Tammy from Rest Easy Services. And just before the other side of that break, we were talking about managing staff. Now, when I say staff, I also will include subcontractors. So then I thought, oh, maybe you talk about managing people. Now, Yasuv would have a lot of staff, I'd imagine. How many people do you manage in the business?
We've got about 75,
right.
So and that's a mixture of full-timers, chefs, down to the 15-year-old school kid coming in to do a shift on a Thursday night at one of the shops. So, but about 75 staff rotating through.
So, so if someone applies for a job, how do you get staff? Do you go through online, or is it from people that they know, or is there what's the process for applying for a job to work with you?
We're lucky enough where a lot of, especially that school kid age and the casuals, the uni students, they'll just walk up to the shops with their CVs, and in the hospitality industry, that's a fairly normal sort of practice. So we find a lot of people like that, and we like those people because they're the people that have got the gumption to go and do it.
Yeah, good
point. So that's almost a really good filter straight up.
Mm-hmm.
But then, yeah, we'll use Gumtree mainly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then once they start working with you, there's obviously some sort of training that they have. Is that how it works?
Yeah, Nick does most of the training and our managers. But it's probably an area of the business right now that we've highlighted as not one of our stronger points. So that's something. I would say that we're probably not processed enough with it. We don't have manuals. We probably need some sort of online training process that we can put people through, almost a Yasuv Academy, if you like, that we can put people through online where they can go and watch videos and learn. And
some sort of induction process. So I think it's important from meeting you guys and listening to you, particularly Nick, that authentic side of Yasuv, that's the brand. And I, looking at the brand, I love it, was snobbly Greek is what it said. And tell us a bit what that mean. What does the brand actually mean?
There's a few core words that we really centre a lot of our marketing and in fact our people around. And mm-hmm. So when I'll interview people, I'm talking to them about these core words, and we don't use snobbly Greek, although we like to be. I'll use it to customers, definitely. Okay. So customers that'll come and ask for tabbouleh, I'll go, no, actually we're Greek and we're snobbly Greek, and we don't have Middle Eastern or Turkish products, we have Greek products. But Greekness is in our core, centering around our brand, as is family and irreverence. So Nick was talking about the laughter before that we have, and we'll manage our staff with a lot of laughter and a lot of fun as well, provided they know the difference between, you know, happy Ben, fun Ben, and serious Ben that needs to get a job done.
Yeah.
That irreverence will come through there, and I like it to come through at the registers. I like people to be, you know, not hello, madam, how are you? Which souvlaki would you like today?
Yeah.
You know, how's it going? What souv are you after? What are you up to today? How's things going?
Yasuv.
Yeah.
Well, that's the brand. Does that Yasuv actually mean anything in Greek?
Yasuv is hello, goodbye, cheers.
So it's like ciao
to your health.
In Italian.
Yeah, pretty much. So it's a very strong word. It's used very often in Greece and by Greeks. So that's why we use that name. We added the V on the end, so the Yasuv for Suv and the Yasu. So that was one of the things when we were looking at it, you know, in the early days. We wanted people to be greeted with Yasu. So straight away the name's sort of pretty much out there, and it's also the greeting of the cheers and to your health, because a lot of it is the meaning behind it is to your health.
That's really good. I like that. So I like the meaning behind it, and I think it's such a fun word to say. But it's interesting you're talking about with the induction for your staff. They make your brand come alive, so that induction side of it's really, really key, I think, important.
100%. And it's also, it's a lot easier to sell your brand to your customers through a human being. You know, when if you try and sell that brand through marketing, a logo, a colour choice, a shop design, that's quite intricate and quite difficult.
Mm.
Whereas getting someone to greet someone and say Yasu and be a bit irreverent, have a bit of fun with your customers, that is a lot easier to sell.
Yeah, it is, and it's got to be integrated. But I always say that the staff, the lungs of your brand. If your staff don't get it, your brand doesn't breathe properly or doesn't breathe at all, you know. So I think that's a really good point. Now, managing people, Matt and Tammy, I imagine particularly over summer, you have a lot of different cleaners, gardeners, lots of different people. How many people at your peak time would you be managing?
Peak summer, over 30 in total.
Yeah, and so how do you lead them through an induction, or what's the process that they come working for you?
Most of them, when they start, are experienced in whatever it is they're doing, the gardening or the cleaning, but we just need to fine-tune them to get them to the standard that we need. And we do that by, if it's for cleaning, for example, I would let them go out and do a job and then go in after and just point out the things that we need to tweak a little bit, or go with them, or have them with one of the girls that's been with us, one of the girls or guys, I should say, for a long time and know the standard. training mat.
And so there's obviously a lot of challenges. What are some of the key challenges for you, and how do you go about addressing that?
I think with particularly holiday rentals, the standard is particularly high. People come down here and they pay large amounts to rent these houses out, and there's really no exception. There's a little bit of sand or crumbs or anything. So it's really getting everybody to be very fastidious in their cleaning and having that attention to detail is really important, and can be difficult to get everyone to the same standard.
Yeah, and also I'll talk about customer service. How do you get feedback from customers? So if someone isn't happy with their clean, do they let you know, or do you have a process where you proactively follow up, or do you rely on reactive feedback? What is it?
Yeah, basically we're always pretty quick to hear about it.
Oh, okay.
but it's an interesting sort of the way that it happens, because our customer ultimately is the owner of the house, but the person that goes in after the clean is their customer. It's the tenant of the holiday home.
Mm.
So generally it would have to go to the owner before we hear about it. But we do also, if I'm speaking to an owner, I'll ring and make sure that everything's okay. And I also do inspections on the cleans after some of the cleaners, just spot check. So I'm always, you know, trying to make sure that it's at a certain level before anybody gets in. So yeah, there's not too many complaints, but I think a lot of the time people just try to get a free night a lot of the times, or, you know, just they really pick up anything that they find wrong with the house.
I think communication's key, because there's lots of people in your supply chain, isn't there? There's the owner, and there's the people renting.
Yeah.
And then there's your team.
Correct.
From Rest Easy as well. So it's that real communication. Is that all done via telephone, or do you have a regular communication process with them, newsletters, or how do you go about it?
Just all by phone.
Yeah. Okay, the old-fashioned way.
Correct.
Very good.
Yep.
What about Ben and Nick with your team? Do you have with your staff? And I imagine it's also quite transient, because, like, same with Matt and Tammy, that the industry would be people coming and going a lot of the time. But do you have like weekly team meetings or any sort of system?
Not so much team meetings at the moment. We have a rostering program called Deputy, which that's how everyone is aware of what roster they're going to have for the next week.
Mm.
And that's where we can put things down, like, you know, we're changing the menu, or things are changing. Basically, we can post it on Deputy, and all the staff can read it off that. Now, I and all of us are the same. We go to the shops fairly often, and we have a chat to the managers and to the staff as well. So just to bring them up to speed with any changes or how we want things done.
Yeah,
I go and work with the managers a lot, and that's how our sort of training is as well. I spend a lot of time with the managers, and then the managers will train up the existing staff or new staff that come along.
I was going to follow up about quality control with Tammy and Matt, saying they actually go and do spot checks, and all your guys would know that you do that. So it's like the mystery shopper concept,
right,
that they never quite know when you're going to come and check up on them.
Turn up. Exactly.
Do you do the same? So you say you
we do that a fair bit. We will just roll up unannounced, but also my wife loves doing that too.
Oh,
she will roll up to one of the shops.
It's good to walk in the shoes of your customer. I speak to a lot of business owners, and retail's notoriously bad at it. Where actually be a customer, you know, try and find out where you are, walk into the shopping centre or wherever you are, walk in, you know, and go through the process of being served as a customer. So that's good that you've got family and friends that do that for you.
Yeah, she does that fairly often. We've been in business with my wife, you know, for many years with the cafes, and she'll go in and just say, oh, have a look at this, please, or can you give them a call because this isn't right, or... So, yeah, I get that a fair bit.
Do they know it's her or not?
She'll stand back a bit and just have a look.
Yeah, that's important.
And then she'll let me know. So it's, like you said, the mystery shopper.
Yeah, it's really important.
Yeah.
I think. Now, I was interested to learn about Olga. Who's Olga?
Olga's my mum.
Olga's your mum.
Yes, she
is. Now, Olga's got an important role in your business.
She has got a very important role. Basically, all the flavours and recipes have come from Olga. Over the years, obviously, you know, Greek mum, cooking and eating and barbecues and all the festivities that we have as Greeks. I wanted to take her recipes and her flavors. Like, I'll go over on a, you know, whatever, Tuesday or Wednesday night, just have a chat to mum and dad, and they're having dinner, and I'll pick at the Greek salad and say, that's tremendous. What have you put in it? And it just tastes different to your normal Greek salad that you might buy at a shop. So that's what we've tried to implement is mum's recipes and flavors into Yasuv.
And does Olga go into Yasuv?
She does. She does the my wife's trick as well, going in as a mystery shopper sometimes with dad.
Yeah.
Dad's a bit more, you know, vocal than mum is.
Dennis will walk straight in out the back. Yeah. Go straight into the kitchen.
Oh, right. He'll go
straight in.
Everyone's got different
and
jobs.
And does not mind giving his opinion. He's brilliant.
That's great, isn't it? So these are all these little quirks, I suppose, that every business has got. But it's important that you're using that, particularly quality control, because sometimes you can get so insular in your own business that you need that fresh pair of eyes and fresh opinion from the outside, and someone that you can respect that's going to give you that opinion. That was Taylor Swift with We Are Never, Ever, 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 Ever Getting Back Together. And that happens a lot with business partnerships as well. And we have here in the studio Ben and Nick from Yasuv and Matt and Tammy from Rest Easy Services talking about working with friends and also working with your significant other. And I suppose Matt and Tammy, as husband and wife and running a business, what sort of business structure have you got? So Rest Easy Services, are you running as sole traders or is it a company, or how did you go through that process?
We're a company, which we decided from the start, pretty much from the advice of our accountant, that was the best way to do it. So,
okay.
Yeah. I mean, we're not strictly coming from great business backgrounds. Neither of us has done any, you know, degrees in business or anything like that. So it was important for us to make sure that we had the right people around us to give us advice.
That's great. I'm a big fan of experts. I'm glad to hear that you've done that. Ben, what's the structure of Yasuv? Is it Yasuv? Is it a company or is it a...
Yasuv Holdings is
right,
the company.
Okay.
And then each of the shops is leased under a different proprietary limited company as well.
Why is that?
Just for an added level of protection from Westfield.
Right. Yeah. No, well, that's important.
And it gives us good flexibility. No, ultimately, I'm being a bit facetious with the Westfield comment. It's really structured there for future franchising.
Right.
So someone can buy the lease and buy that business and it doesn't affect Yasuv Holdings.
Yeah. I've heard of stories before with, particularly in friends, it's a bit different when you're a husband and wife because you're considered family, but with friends, that when one of the partners die and they haven't made provisions in their will for the business, that actually that can be considered part of their estate and there can be all sorts of problems there. Is that something that you guys have looked into?
Definitely. And when I was talking about the partnership agreement before, which is kind of, you know, back of a serviette at the moment.
Yes. But,
those provisions are made in there and all that sort of stuff. I mean, you know, we were talking before with you guys as well about the similarities between partnership and marriage. And I hold that true, and that is true about partnerships. The one diametrically opposed difference to that is that when you go into a partnership, you go into it knowing at one day this is going to break up.
Mm.
And so you can go in with your eyes open and say, well, this is how we're going to break up. This is how we're going to divorce, if you like.
Mm.
Whereas when we go and get married, hopefully we're not having that conversation kind of, you know, a week before we walk down the aisle. So it is an interesting part of business, and you can have those conversations, death, divorce, marriage, unhappiness, whatever it is, with the partnership, may have one partner walk away or all three walk away.
Mm.
You can have those conversations.
Are there any key experts that you've used in the setup of your business or now that you continue to use that has been a real key success factor for your business success?
We've brought experts in all the way. Everyone from our brand girl, Kate McCormack. It's been great in establishing our brand to the logos and the look and feel of the business through an AJD creative. We've used legal people. Obviously, we've got our accountants. We've got an external accountant as well as Frank, who's actually an accountant as well. We use a lot of experts, leasing managers, all sorts.
Yeah, because you've got a background in franchising. Now, that's a whole industry in itself and can be quite complicated.
Very complicated.
Yeah. So what's the future hold for Yasuv? You've got three stores at the moment, and have you got plans for world domination or...?
World domination's definitely a part of it.
I thought it might be.
I love New York, so when we incorporated the domain name, which is yasuv.com.au, I also got yasuv.com, so I can take Suvs to New York.
Yeah.
That's about as far as world domination. Our domination is probably based around Melbourne Metropolitan.
Yeah.
That's as big as our world will probably maybe ever get.
Yeah.
I don't know whether interstate's a part of our thing. And in terms of the future... we always went into this thinking franchising, and again, 10 years before it was born, Nick and I were talking franchising. But franchising is a difficult beast, and franchisees are difficult. Mm. It's hard to find them these days. It's hard to find quality ones. And they really become your partner, but they don't have the emotional connection that us as friends or you as husband and wife have, and they are your partner in that one business. They think they buy an opportunity to tell you how they are going to run their business, but it's not, they're running my business. So, and again, they are very difficult to recruit these days. So we probably may look at investors whether that be venture capital or investor, but you know, we're at the point now where we need money to take on world or Melbourne Metropolitan domination. But the business is set now. We're set up. We've spent the first 2 years getting our operational and getting centralised cooking and getting our brand and the people around us ready to go to be able to open 15 stores next year, with the exception of training, as we were talking about before, probably.
Right. Matt and Tammy, we talked about your exit strategy or maybe another. I just want to go into growth with Rest Easy Services. Have you ever thought about franchising it and going beyond the Mornington Peninsula?
Yeah, well, we actually came from franchising when we were in Melbourne. Probably didn't have the greatest experience in franchising either, so... we have thought about it, and it's sort of a bit of a tricky situation because we do want to expand into other holiday destinations. The logistics of it would be quite tricky in finding the right person in, you know, say a small town that might want to run a franchise in a small town could be quite tricky. That's as far as we've got in terms of franchising. But we definitely want to expand into other areas.
Right, so it's on the list of things to do, to work on.
That long list of things to do.
Yep. Excellent. I always like to finish the show on some inspiration because a lot of our listeners get a lot of inspiration from listening to people like yourself. Have you got a pearl of wisdom or a philosophy or something that motivates you every day or a saying that you've heard that you particularly like that you'd like to share with us?
Personally, I wrote down this morning in regards to this topic was making sure that you don't, you know, belittle your partner or get stuck into them when they make a mistake. It's more about learning from the mistake and moving on with it, as opposed to, you know, coming down hard on your partner, because that's when obviously problems will start. So definitely, you know, you don't have mistakes, you just have lessons.
That's excellent. Tammy, have you got one?
My lifetime philosophy has always been stay safe, keep the faith and never change for anyone. So I think just be true to yourself and the rest will follow.
Okay, that's a nice way. Ben, have you got one you'd like to share?
The life philosophy would be no if onlys. And that's a really hard thing to do, but to kind of go through each experience and don't leave anything behind.
Yeah, so you don't want to die wondering.
Whether it's a success or a failure, you don't want to walk away and go, geez, if only I'd done that better or if only I'd worked a bit harder. So that's a hard one. In terms of the partnerships, I think my pearl of wisdom, as you say, would be just learn how to handle injustice, because it's going to happen and it'll rip your partnerships apart. whether it's a marriage or a business partnership. It's going to happen. You're going to feel that you've been unjustly dealt with at some point. Just learn how to handle it. Yeah, and if you can't, it's problems.
That's great advice. Frank? Nick. That's all right. So Frank's not here. Hi, Frank. I'm sure he's listening.
He's
Has Frank? Yeah, there he is. There he is in the back there with the all the souvlaki.
That's right. He's bringing in the tray.
I can smell them from here.
They're smelling good.
Yeah. Nick, have you got something?
I think passion. You need to have passion for what you're doing. Mm. And one thing that we have in our partnership is laughter. So you need to be able to laugh, because if you can't laugh, life's too serious. So passion and laughter is what I believe are two key components of making a good partnership.
Excellent. Well, I'd like to thank very much Nick and Ben from Yasuv. And if people want to try this authentic Greek souvlaki, they can find you at Knox, Westfield, and Doncaster, Westfield, and in Glenfrey Road, Hawthorne, is that right?
Glenfrey Road, Hawthorne, just near Glenfrey Station.
Exactly. And your website?
www.yasuv.com.au. And
Yasuv. We'll put a link to our Facebook page as well. Congratulations. Very
Thank
exciting.
You very much. Thank you for having us.
I look forward to tasting the souvlaki after the show. I couldn't have it now because I can't eat and talk at the same time, even though I have been known to do that. Also, I'd like to thank Matt and Tammy from Rest Easy Services. Thank you very much for coming in. And if people want to find out more about Rest Easy, or they're looking for work over summer, I know you're always looking for staff, yes, they can find more information at
www.resteasyservices.com.au.
Excellent. Wonderful. Well, thank you again.
Thank you,
Jackie. Thanks very much.
Yeah, it's been really good having you all in the studio today. We hope you've heard lots of advice and inspiration today and feel a little bit smarter. We look forward to your company next Friday at 11 a.m. In the meantime, keep taking care of your business.